Capricorn. Connect. People. Potential. Technology.
As an Italian-born, Francesca Pipino emigrated to the US, where she gained valuable experiences with the largest IT technology consulting company in the world, the largest search engine in the world, and the largest social media network in the world. With LearnDetect, she started her entrepreneurial journey with a company that revolutionizes learning disability assessments by making them 10 times more affordable and efficient. LearnDetect achieves this through rapid mobile app screenings, AI-driven recommendations, and official evaluations conducted by licensed professionals. Currently, Francesca is pursuing her MBA at Columbia University. Francesca Pipino, thanks for coming on the podcast, the Swiss Capricorn podcast. Glad to have you on board. How are you today?
Hi, thank you so much for having me here. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm great. Francesca, I would like to start the interview with the question I always ask my guest is, what was your first experience in your life in the digital world? Do you remember that?
Yeah, kind of. So my first experience was probably during middle school. I remember having like a phone that was the LG Fuchsia color phone. And that was the first time that the phone had a camera. So it was really cool. And also it moved in a like particular way that was kind of cool at that time. And then I also remember the iPod and like just thinking about how like everything, like every type of music can be stored in such a small place was, yeah, very, very interesting at the time. Now, not anymore.
Absolutely. Now you are involved in a very interesting company, LearnDetect. Maybe you can tell us something about it. And what was your motivation getting involved in such an interesting project and company?
Yeah, so I was personally involved with learning disabilities in my family, and the fact that receiving a diagnosis was super tough and super difficult to get. So when I started my MBA, it was the perfect time to try out like entrepreneurial experience and started with just a project that was focused on understanding what was the pain point in learning disabilities in the US, but also worldwide. And what we discovered is that detection is really key in order to receive the accommodations and the supports from schools. So, but obtaining a detection is super expensive. It goes generally from like $5,000 to $15,000 in the US. So our idea was to make them more affordable so that even people that cannot have like those assessments for that type of cost can now like have the assessments for them.
And the usability, can you tell us something about that? Is it easier to use? Maybe you can elaborate on that one.
Yeah. So what we are trying to do is to have remote evaluations. So even if people are in a rural area, they can still access to like those evaluations without going physically to a neuropsychologist or a psychologist that will have a visit and takes a lot of time, like before like going in person in the office. And yeah.
So when I'm in my mountain village in Switzerland, I can also have access to it.
To that, yeah.
Okay, very, very good, very good. And can you also tell us about AI? Does AI also play a role in this technology?
Yeah, so AI is giving personalized recommendations and resources to people that wants to understand better the diagnosis that they are receiving. So it's really key for people to really understand what, for example, dyslexia is and how it can manifest and what they can do for supporting their child. And AI is giving all these informations to them in a way that is more digestible than it was before.
Oh, interesting. What were your challenges now in LearnDetect, like in this entrepreneurial journey? Maybe you can tell us something about that.
Yeah. So I think like the main challenge I had is that when I started, I felt like everything was like in a year, I can obtain everything. I can just like develop a product, get funding, get everything started. And I think the entrepreneurial journey made me realize that the time frame is much, much longer because you need to do a lot of customer discovery. You really need to understand well the problem. You need to know your market very well. You need to know where to start and how to incorporate a company. So there are a lot of pieces that I didn't like, I kind of undervalued when I started, and now like it takes more time. And the other important piece is hiring. It's quite difficult to hire the right talent and have people that are committed and motivated to your same mission and goals.
Yeah, I also wanted to dive into that topic, hiring the right talent. I mean, first of all, how do you find the right talent for such a company now? Maybe an early stage startup or a growth company?
Yeah. So in my case, I was quite lucky because by being an MBA student at Columbia, I also had access to Columbia engineering schools and other schools that are under the Columbia University program that had a lot of people that were like interested and like very passionate about the topic. But overall, I think it's very like difficult to keep like these people motivated to like work with you when there are so many competing priorities and so many companies that are hiring at the same time, people that have the same type of skills.
Mm-hmm. And what would be a technique or a measure to retain talent that you want to retain in the company? Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, like I would say one thing I'm trying to do is like to give as much autonomy as I can in my company in a way that they feel empowered to take the decisions that they want to take without like feeling that type of control and like micromanagement issue that many companies have. And the other thing is like really to always explain and being transparent about what we are trying to build and make sure that they see the long-term vision and not only like the just like short-term tasks that they are doing.
So give autonomy to talent, to employees, be transparent about operational issues, and then have the long-term vision of the company and communicate that also to the team, the talent and the employees.
Yeah, exactly. At Meta, I remember one of my managers said, don't ask for permission, but ask for forgiveness. And I think like that's yeah, it's like a value that I think more people should have. And especially in any company that like an employee is working for, I think it's important to be always proactive as possible and just like make things happen. And then if something is wrong, then we can fix it. But it's just important to have people that are very proactive and have that entrepreneurial mindset in whatever role they are doing.
Mm-hmm. So make things happen, very important. Francesca, how can candidates remain attractive in this very competitive tech market? What is your perspective on this?
Yeah. So in terms of like on the business side, I think in the recent years, like in the past 5 to 10 years, I saw a lot of people that wanted to go into product management. So they want to have like those skills that are a bit more technical than just a business background, but at the same time, they have everything that is required to be a great employee in a business setting. So they have great communication skills, great collaboration skills. They are able to translate something that is more difficult to understand in a simpler way. So product management, like having product management skills, it's really something that is very valued in the tech market. And then the other thing is for technical roles, having soft skills, it's something that is really valuable, especially for big tech companies. The ability to collaborate, talk with everyone, communicate well are something that not all engineers and technical people have, and something they should focus like on.
So not only be the techie, but also have some interaction, some human skills, social skills, so you can interact also with other departments maybe that are not so techie based, or the hardcore developer So that is important. Is that correct?
Yeah. Exactly. So I think emotional intelligence is really key here. So they should have all those skills that basically creates a better group, a better team, and a better working culture.
And do you think that's also for the future increasingly more important?
Yeah, I think it's something that will stays there. So what we've seen, like in the like from since 2021, there was this like big AI movement. So it's always like important to be at the top of the game for technical skills. But at the same time, what AI is not able to replace yet is having that emotional intelligence and understanding the problem, understanding the motivation behind the people, why certain decisions have been taken or not. So for that, I think both technical and business roles should like be really focused on emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Francesca, I also wanted to talk about the recruiting process because you worked for very big companies, the biggest IT consulting companies, the biggest social network and the biggest search engine in the world. So maybe you can tell us about the recruiting process at Accenture. Did they have a special recruiting process when they hired talent?
Yeah, so as far as Accenture, like I was recruited in Italy, so I don't know exactly how it works for like all the other countries, but as far as I remember, it was three to four interviews, and they were mainly behavioral type of interviews. So they go through the STAR method, that is situation, task, action, and result. That is the way candidates should reply to like any question that is formulated by an interviewer. So, for example, if an interviewer is asking, can you give me an example of leadership skills that you demonstrated for a job? Then you go through the STAR method and you explain the situation, the task that you were performing, and then the actions that you took and the results that you got. And it's really important to stress all these pieces, especially the task and the result, in a way that the interviewer is understanding your value and what you are adding to the company.
And do you remember the recruiting process as Meta? Was that different?
It was very similar. So both at Meta and Google, they have behavioral type of questions. And then sometimes they have specific focus areas of interest. So, for example, if you are applying to a role that is more technical, they have a technical skills interview. Or if you are applying to a role that is related to communication, they have an interview that is more focused on how you communicate with communication agencies and so on. So every interview has a purpose in that case. And the purpose is to see if you have collaboration skills, data skills, and other type of skills that are really important for that type of role.
Okay, interesting. Can you also tell us maybe about now, as you mentioned, 2020, when COVID hit and everything went virtual, the AI revolution began. How important is remote working nowadays in the tech world or maybe in the job market in general?
Yeah, so many companies are still remote, but I would say majority of them in the big tech space, they came back to like their origins. So now they are requesting in person for at least 3 days a week. So that's a big step back from pandemic. But I would say it's also necessary because it was very difficult for people to be connected and really grow in a role without being in person and without having all those skills that are beyond meetings, that are more about understanding the culture, understanding how things are done in a certain company. And for me in particular, it was very interesting in January. I went to a West Coast trek with Columbia, where we visited a lot of tech companies in the West Coast. And I noticed that many of the headquarters were almost completely empty. And that like gave a completely different vibe in comparison to New York, where majority of headquarters are full and people are just like back to work. So on one end, I think having more flexibility, especially in a place where commuting time is long, it's a good perk, and it can be a competitive advantage, especially if you are a new startup or a smaller company. Mm-hmm. But then for more established company, having like the in-person presence, it's key to in order to make things happen and make things happen in a fast way.
Mm-hmm. So a bit of a mix, would you recommend something?
Yeah.
That?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you know both work cultures. I mean, you know the European work cultures and you also know the American work culture. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the differences.
Yeah. So first thing is holiday. So Americans, they don't have holidays. Yeah. And like that was a big shock when I moved. It was, I was able to like manage my holiday well, but I think in general, being Italian and being used to August as a full month off or almost a full month off. Yeah, in the US, they generally take long weekends. They take maximum 1 week of holiday. They have a different culture. Also, the employment is at will. So you can be let go at any time. And there is no 6 months probation period because you are always in a probation period, even if you have a full-time job. So that was very interesting. And also recently I was doing a legal class and they were talking about the differences between Ireland and US. And the lawyer mentioned that if you are pregnant in Ireland, you have 6 months off where like you have it as maternity leave. Mm-hmm. And two girls from the US laugh about it. And I was like, wow, like they have such a like different perspective in terms of like keeping their job and being focused around like job is such an essential part of the like everyday life that they see it in a different way. Mm-hmm.
So completely different perspective of the job in your life. You are, Francesca, pursuing you're an MBA student at Columbia University. What made you pursue this MBA? Why did you do it? And how is an MBA beneficial also for your career? Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So in my case, when I moved to the US, it was 2022 and at my company, Meta, they were doing a lot of layoffs. It was the like moment in time where there were different rounds of layoff and my team, majority of my team was gone within two rounds of layoffs. And because I was there with Visa, I felt it was important for me to take more ownership on my career and don't let the company own my entire future, because that's what I felt. So I decided to study for and apply to MBAs for that reason, because I wanted to have like a more long-term perspective in the US. And in general, I think a lot of people in tech did something similar. So tech employees that went to MBAs during these years are increasing. And the other aspect is the fact that in the US, it's important to have a US degree. So what I noticed is that, the European degree that I had, although is quite known in Europe, was unknown, from like majority of the people, my employer and like my colleagues. So it was important for me also to like have like that stamp of recognition that like I was a good candidate also in the US.
Mm-hmm. I also want to talk about the future job market. Now AI is changing the world. Which jobs do you think will remain? Which will disappear? And which jobs will be newly created? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I think probably the jobs that revolves around customer service can disappear or they can be upskilled with AI. So especially with the new wave of AI agents, I think like those type of jobs are at risk. And I'm a bit skeptical when people said, oh, AI will replace some roles, but then new other roles will be created. I'm not so sure about that. I think AI is replacing some of like the most, the jobs that can be replaced by virtual agents, for example. But then, yeah, like who knows, like what will happen in the future? Maybe so far it seems like we're still we're even like more productive than usual, but everyone is still needed. So let's see how it goes.
And also, I would like to ask you some personal question, maybe some more self-reflection about yourself. Where do you think is your superpower, the area you see yourself being better than other people?
I think as an international student, and then before as an international employee, my like biggest value is to be able to adapt to different situations, different settings, cities, companies, and like make sure that I always bring value in there. And then the other thing is I'm a very practical person. So if I have a project and I have a deadline, I will deliver on that. Emotional intelligence is very important for me. So like making sure that I can collaborate well with people. It's something I'm always mindful of.
Is there a famous person that you admire, and also why?
Yeah, I would say Bono from U2. I really admire like historically how the U2 band was formed, and they are from Ireland. I lived there for 5 years, and today is St. Patrick's Day, so it's the perfect
singer. You could have a drink.
Yeah, a Guinness maybe. But yeah, so he really like inspired me, not only for his songs, but also because he always like brought like his vision, and like he used his power to make sure that he can raise also political matters.
Is there a mission statement, a motto, a credo you live by in your life?
Yeah, so there isn't like one. There is no like one motto that is like fixed in my head. But I would say I met recently with the Adobe CFO, and he said that excellence is a choice, and every day you need to show up as excellent. It is a conscious effort to be excellent in everything you do. So I'm trying to like be that person, be the person that every time shows up at school, in a new job, in like whatever occasion, I'm always trying to give my 100%.
Excellence is a choice. Yeah, I like that. And a final question, Francesca, how do you think will AI have improved your life in 2 years if you project yourself into the future?
Yeah, as I see it now, like where AI is really improving my life is the ability to translate what I have in my head in a perfect English. So if I want to use a better tone that is maybe more friendly, or a tone that is more formal, if I want to transmit a message, AI really has me on that. So for example, services like ChatGPT or Perplexity, Claude, they help me a lot in that. In the future, I see it as something that can help me even more in like doing all my productivity related tasks. So for example, a service I really like and I see like a nice future of is Gamma AI or Canva, that are websites to like develop other websites, for developing presentations. And I feel like if they grow and they improve their AI models, they will be like my job will be much, much easier than before. I will not spend time anymore in slides and posts and stuff like that.
Francesca Pipino, thank you so much for this wonderful talk. I wish you all the best for your future, and looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you. Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
Capricorn, connect people, potential, technology.